Hiring in America is going strong, but this recovery's going to take a while. I'm David Brancaccio. This morning, a government count of American payrolls finds 559,000 more people got jobs in May. Outside of pandemic, that would have been one fine month of gains. But forecasters were expecting about 15% more amid all the vaccinations. Let's sort this out with Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FHN Financial. Hi there.
Good morning, David.
Well, the forecasters were disappointed, but should we be disappointed in this?
You know, we went into this number with economists expecting 675,000 hires. We got 559,000. I'd say that's still pretty good. Before the pandemic, a strong month was anything above 250, and we more than doubled that. We have to be realistic. There are plenty of companies that aren't just hiring one or two people. They're replacing an entire workforce, and that takes time.
All right, who got jobs last month?
So the job ads were in services. The biggest gain in leisure and hospitality, almost 300,000 workers added there, but there's still plenty of hiring that needs to be done there. A shortfall of about 2.5 million in that sector relative to pre-pandemic days, and I expect you're going to see vigorous hiring there through the summer.
Now, the unemployment rate, that's from the other survey. If you just look at the headline, it went in the right direction, down to 5.8% from 6.1%, but I think looking here, the pie shrunk. Fewer people were looking for work?
Yeah, that was a disappointment. The labor participation rate, that's the number of people who were either working or looking, fell slightly, a 49,000 drop. And again, this is the household survey. It's a noisier survey. There's more volatility because the sample size is pretty small. So I'm not too worried about the drop, but it would have been nice to see a rise. It would be nice to see people getting vaccinated and feeling safe and coming back into the workforce. Hopefully, we do see that as the summer progresses. But on the other side of that, there were reports of about 450,000 people working. The household survey includes people who are self-employed and contract workers. So it makes sense that the job gain there might be bigger than on the payroll side, where, you know, you have to be an employee to be counted.
Christopher Lowe, Chief Economist, FHN Financial, thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
For more on this labor market on the mend, let's bring in live economist Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives, who's read through the government's report just now. Morning, Julia.
Good morning.
Some forecasters expected more, but you're okay with this?
I mean, it's a lot closer than last month, and by normal standards, this would be a phenomenal jobs number. So more than 500,000 people back to work in 1 month is not bad.
Who's getting hired and where?
So more than half of the jobs were in the leisure and hospitality industry. So people really going back to work as people are starting to go out and about again. We also saw a lot of state and local government workers, particularly teachers, getting hired back. And then we saw some bounce back in manufacturing and healthcare workers. So it was a broader base of hiring than we saw in April.
And, you know, you hear all these employers who say they can't find people. Is that putting up wages? Do we see that?
We do see some increase in wages. So we saw 0.5% increase for the month. That's a solid gain in wages. That's good news for workers. And we know those leisure and hospitality workers are earning raises to come back to work.
Economist Julia Coronado, Macro Policy Perspectives, thank you so much. We'll get details today from Facebook, which wants to start removing posts from politicians who violate its rules on, for instance, hate speech, discrimination, or harassment. While it banished former President Donald Trump after the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, its general policy has been to let politicians post what they want on the argument that it's newsworthy.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Given the new computer hack for ransom attack this week, this one on JBS, the world's biggest meat processing company, and news that earlier this spring, the New York City subway system was targeted, the U.S. Justice Department is ramping up its intelligence gathering on cybercrime. Marketplace's Nova Safo joins us here. What do we know, Nova?
Well, what we know is that the Justice Department, in a new memo to U.S. attorneys around the country, is directing them to share more information about various investigations of online criminal activity. Now, this is all to try to get a handle on ransomware threats. Experts say the DOJ's move is akin to how it deals with terrorism, David. Specifically, what the various regional offices are being directed to share is information and details from their cases about specific cyber attacks and also cases involving cryptocurrency exchanges, online money laundering, and other illicit activities on the web. And that way, officials hope to centralize information and to better make connections between various incidents and see the bigger picture in terms of economic and national security threats.
Now, it took all this to increase the vigilance.
Well, officials say the threat is escalating. Yesterday, the White House put out a warning letter to the private sector saying there's been a significant rise in the frequency and size of ransomware attacks. And a lot of times companies are paying the ransom demands from hackers because the ransomware attacks are causing major disruptions. For example, in the Colonial Pipeline attack last month, we saw, you know, fuel shortages in the Southeast. And we know Colonial paid $4.5 million ransom. There are millions of dollars to be made, and that's incentivizing hackers to launch more and more ransomware attacks.
All right, Nova Safo, thank you very much. About 63% of Americans now have gotten at least one dose of the vaccine. The Biden administration would like to get that number up to 70% by a month from today, July the 4th. One way is through incentives, including asking companies to offer perks for vaccinated customers. Marketplace's Marielle Segarra looked into how well these work.
There are lots of incentives now to get the vaccine, aside from the fact that it will protect you from getting COVID. Free baseball tickets, gift cards, donuts, beer, also the chance to win a free cruise or a year of free flights or $1 million. First things first, there are some people who, no matter what, are not going to get vaccinated, so incentives will not work on them. Jennifer Chapman teaches at UC Berkeley's Haas School of Business.
And in fact, for people who philosophically believe that vaccines are problematic and the government is not trustworthy, they may even make them more suspicious.
But there are also people who wanted to wait a little longer or just haven't gotten around to getting vaccinated yet.
It's generally believed that these kinds of incentive approaches could help sway many of those people in the middle.
That's Kevin Volpe, director of the Penn Center for Health Incentives and Behavioral Economics. He says there's early data from Ohio that its vaccine lottery with $1 million prize is working. The state says it saw a 44% jump in first doses among people 16 and older in the week after the lottery was announced. Volpe says lotteries and sweepstakes might be particularly effective.
They capture people's imagination. People start dreaming about how my life would be changed if I won this lottery.
Even though the chance of winning is pretty small. So, okay, a lottery is one thing. But what about, you know, a free donut? Is that really going to be the deciding factor for anyone? Maybe, depending on the person, but
part of why a lot of states are offering monetary rewards is while some people like donuts and others don't, and some people like baseball and others don't, everybody likes cash.
Now, some research suggests that paying people to get vaccinated could backfire and make them think, what's wrong with the vaccine? These incentives are mostly not direct cash payments. But even so, Jingwei Qi, who directs the Center for Global Health at Oregon State University, says that's why the government needs to say clearly,
the reason we want to encourage people with those incentives is not because there's anything wrong, it's because we need to achieve the herd immunity.
And if that means offering you a free hunting or fishing license or a donut, so be it. I'm Marielle Segarra for Marketplace.
Thanks, Marielle. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Alex Schroeder. Our technical director is Jay Siebold. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.